All right, today's date is August 19th, 17th, and my lesson text would be Romans chapter 5, and it'd be the benefits of justified sons of God. Benefits of justified sons of God, Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, we thank you for another day, Lord God. We thank you for your marvelous grace, Lord God. And we thank you for the many things you've given us freely. Lord God, just bless us this day, Lord God. It's in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Okay. Good afternoon, saints of God. And, I'll say again, I'm honored to be here again. It's been a long road. And you know, all my life, I knew there was a war going on. I knew it, you know, by certain choices that I made in my life. I wasn't following nobody. Nobody influenced me. I just made some choices because certain things felt good to me. And so I did those things with all the gusto I could muster. You know, everything my little left hand could find to do that was wrong, I did it, you know. And there was a war going on. And I understand that Satan is the god of this world, and he rules this thing. And it was given over to him by Adam because of what Adam did. But I didn't know there was something deeper going on. There was another war that was under the war that I could see, that unseen war. I didn't know that there were principalities and powers fighting. I didn't know that there was a war between me and God. I had no idea that God was angry at me. I had no idea that if I kept going the way I was going, the wrath of God was just for me. You know, and I read about the wrath that God poured out on Sodom and Gomorrah, but that wasn't me. It didn't apply to me. I read about God's wrath, what he did during the time of Noah, but that didn't apply to me. But one day somebody let me know, you know, Brother Braxton, do you know that you're lost? Do you know if you die this moment that you're going to hell in a handbasket? You know, and I heard that message, so from that point over, I tried to do things maybe a little differently. I thought maybe going to church, and I would stand there, and the guy would put his hands on me, and people would fall out. So I'd fall out too, Brother Doc, because I thought that was the way to get right with God. And then what they do, they would take me to the... I got baptized about 30 times. I would go there, you know, and they would say, we'll put you in the water, and they would get me all wet, and I'd come up, and I'd do the same vile things. I didn't know that there was one true baptism that said, and that baptism is the one that matters. When you come out of that, you walk in the newness of life. But see, nobody ever told me that. They told me about the water. And that's what I look forward to. And as far as the war, I thought I was all right. As long as I had what I wanted, everything was all right. As long as the fish were jumping and the cotton was high, I was all right. But I didn't really know there was a consequence. And it was a consequence that I couldn't bear. That there was a entity called Satan, and it was a place called hell, and I was going to go there not because I was a bad person, but because I had rejected the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And see, I didn't know that hell was not made for man. It was made for Satan and his angels. But my problem was, how would I get there? Because Brother Shepherd, some of the things I was doing, I liked it. See, the flesh looks, the things of this world and the courses will make things look good to you. If they didn't look good to you, you wouldn't do them. Give me something I can feel. Give me something I can touch. Give me something I can see. Let the pride of life just run rampant in my life. See, and I had no idea. I had no idea. But now, came through the scripture, and someone preached the gospel to me one day that I could be justified freely by his grace. Unheard of, how profound. You mean to say that I can be saved by simply trusting in the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? I didn't know that. And one day I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. No bells went off. I didn't hear, I didn't run up and down the aisle and stuff. Nothing changed. But something had changed, and something inside me had changed. I had come from darkness to light, and now I was on my way to heaven. Amen. Not because of what I was doing or not doing, it's because I had done something. I had believed in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul talks about what was given to us according to the what? the scriptures, not according to the pastor, not according to the denomination, but according to what God has said. In other words, there's a place in heaven for the Methodists. There's a place in heaven for the Jehovah Witness. There's a place in heaven for Saddam Hussein. There's a place in heaven for Richard Nixon. There's a place for anybody that has trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. If you have not trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior and justified, there's a place for you. There's going to be millions of good people in hell. Oh yeah, there's some things that I say right now, a lot of unjustified people will never say, or never do. But because I've been justified by Christ, I never got to worry about that. The war is over. There's peace between who? Between me and God. He is no longer mad at me. And in Romans chapter 5, Paul makes it very clear. He said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through what? Our Lord Jesus Christ. It is always through Christ. It is not your good works. Your good works don't matter one iota to God. You have nothing to offer God but your sin. You do the sinning and God does the saving. And your job is just simply believe this simple message, the preaching of the cross. And you know what? The preaching of the cross is foolish to mankind. Man says, how can some dead Jew hanging on a cross save you by you believing that? And some people say it's too easy. But you know what? It wasn't easy for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as he hung on that tree. It said, cursed is the man who hung upon the tree. He took all the sin. The wrath of God was poured out on his dear son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He loved us so much that God put a hit out on his dear son. The Bible says, and the Bible cannot lie, the Bible says, it pleased God to bruise his son. And his son went there willingly. And he paid the price for our sins. So the minute that I sat there, that I stood there, and I believed the gospel that Christ died for my sins according to the scripture, and buried according to the scripture, and rose on the third day according to the scripture, I was justified freely by his grace. I was declared righteous. I was declared in God's eyes. Not because what I had done, but because of what Christ had done. That propitiation, that God was satisfied with what his son did. My God, my God, my God. That's the kind of stuff that makes you want to shout. You see, I don't need to hear nobody hear the high C or the pastor get up and say the same thing over and over and spin around like a whirling dervish. I don't need to hear that. I can hear the word of God and believe what God is saying and get so excited. And I might be standing like this. I can be excited. I'm telling you. Because see, I'm about one of the only black men in America who can't dance. Not one iota, not one lick. Man, I used to be in the singing group and they put me out of the group because I was too stiff. But guess what? I have a song, I have a dance now in my Lord Savior Jesus Christ. I've been declared righteous, never to be lost again. And remember, saints, this is a judicial thing by God. As justified sons of God, that means it's not based on my works. It's not based on anything else. My justification stays the same no matter what. Because see, some days I feel like a nut and some days I don't. Some days I feel like being holy and some days I don't. Do you understand I'm saying, saints of God? But my justification never changes, Brother Doc. Thank God. Because if it changes, I got to be 6 o'clock in the morning. By 6:05, I'll be lost on my way to hell. Just by the things that I think some mornings on a good holy day when I just got through praying. Y'all know the story. And you see, man, everybody has this need. And as justified sons of God, we've been declared righteous. But there's a need before that. Romans 3:23 says what? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So like I said before, the Methodists, the Jehovah's Witness, anybody could be saved if they trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But everybody falls short. From the pimp to the preacher to the president, everybody needs a Savior. Obama needs a Savior. You do you hear what I'm saying? Trump needs a Savior. You need a Savior. The Pope needs a Savior. I don't care how people look sometimes, and I got to grow some up too, Brother Doc, that some people, I see them and I say, they don't want to hear this from me. You know why? You know what that is? Because my flesh getting in the way. Yep. I got to let this flesh down. And I got to trust by faith. I got to trust God. And this faith that we have as sons of God, It can't be based on my emotion. It can't be based on probability. It can't be based on circumstance or where I'm at or the color of somebody's skin. It's got to be based on one thing and one thing alone. What does the Word of God say? I remember my dear brother used to say, what does the Word say? People would be talking. He said, man, you say a lot of words, but what does the Word say? Saints of God, what does the Word of God say? Don't worry about the things that you see going on, justified saints and daughters of God. Don't worry about what you see the world doing. Go with what the Word says. So we weren't here. Listen, we can march. We can do all that's good and fine. But we were not sent here as saints of God to change the world. That's not our thing. To change the social climate, that's not our thing. To feed the hunger, that's not our thing. The Bible says, as justified sons of God and daughters, we are what? To be ministers of reconciliation. We bring people back to God. That is our job. We are ambassadors for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 24/7, Brother Doc. That is our job as justified sons of God. And don't forget that, saints of God. When you walk out this door, remember who you are. If we have not told people about Jesus Christ, we are not doing our job as justified sons of God. And as sons of God, listen. We're supposed to think like God thinks. We're supposed to work with God what He's working on and to labor with God. You know, as a child, I remember my uncle, as my father was in the early in my life, and I remember watching my Uncle Sullivan stand in the mirror, and I watched him shave. I watched him lather up, and I watched him shave. And he was like, he had so much enjoyment with it. And as he took me fishing, I watched him stand there and bait the hook. And he would cast out. Look, his face was so much enjoyment. And as I grew up with him, guess what I did? I tried to emulate him. And now, as I've got older, I remember those times. There were some good times. What the Father was doing and what our God is doing, we're supposed to get joy in that too as we think like Him, as we progress, as we go to full-grown sons in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and God. Then we function like Him. But we've got to study to show ourselves approved, a workman, not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Because the Bible tells us that if in the Word of God is a true statement, if we belong to Jesus Christ, that we, as we labor with Him and as we do what He's doing, we become more and more like Him. We have to stand fast in that. We have to stand fast in what the Word of God says and never waver. Never forget who we are. Because see, sometimes the course of this world will take us away from the things of God. Remember, saints of God, we have a new nature. But we have that old nature. It's like that old relationship, like that old boyfriend, old husband. You might be through with them, but they ain't through with you. And every now and then, that thing gonna rise its head up, and it's gonna try to put you back in that thing. It's like that monster in that cage is always there, just waiting out. Never, you know. That's why I despise these churches to my deliverance services. There is no deliverance. Guess what? The same thing you did back in 1970, you can do today. Just as now you got a little older and you probably can't hop that fence. You can't run as fast. See? I mean, that's the real deal. But as we think more, as we are sons of God, as we begin to work like God and to believe what God is doing, labor with Him, the Bible says we become more and more like Him. You know, and we got to believe that by faith. And the Bible tells us that if we study this Word of God, we'll be complete for what? For some good works? No, all good works. That includes raising our family. That's on the job, on our vacation time, in our thought life. Every good work. But we got to put the work in. And the work in is by faith, is believing what God has said in His Word. And we got to spend some time in the Word of God, saints of God. We spend 5 or 6 hours on the computer. We spend all day at the baseball game. It's football season now. Oh my God, I've seen people right now. You call them during football season, they're not going to answer the phone. And that's all. There's nothing intrinsically wrong with that. But I'm saying, let's get our priorities straight. Remember this. What you love is where you spend your time. Your best friends, you talk to them. You see, the one that you love, you spend time with. But we say we love God, we love Jesus, but we don't want to spend no time with Him. And we call ourselves justified sons of God. You know, we can say, you know, I'm a dispensationalist. You know, I rightly divide the word of truth. But how you living? Are you living that thing out so people know who you are in Christ Jesus? It's not about the Bible that you carry. It's not about what church you belong to. It's about one thing. Do you believe what God has said in His Word? And are you empowering the Spirit to let you live that way? Because Romans 6:14, I hate that sometimes, like Brother Doc, because it tells me I have no excuse for the way I treat people sometimes. I have no excuse by the way sometimes I misjudge my family. You know, I've learned some stuff though. I always think somebody taking something from me. But you know, I've learned how to do now. When I lose, well, not my hairbrush, because that's gone. When I can't, that ain't that fun. You got ball, you can laugh, all right? You know, I think about, you know, I can't find something, but I learned not to say that, because most of the time, because they say the outward man is perishing day by day, and any man is being renewed day by day. This thought, I forget stuff. So I learned to wait a little while and look for something before I say something. Ain't that amazing? Ain't that deep? That's so profound. It's just sometimes as you get older, we learn how to do things differently. We get this wisdom and we just slow down sometimes. Don't be in such a hurry, you know. But again, back to the lesson. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this peace that we have is a peace that doesn't change. Can't be changed no matter what you've done. You cannot be tried what for the same crime twice. What God said we did, falling short, we fell short. Okay? But we can't be tried but one time. Now there's another piece that's in Philippians chapter 4, I think it's 4 and 7. And that's the peace of God. Okay? That's the one I think that's said every day. That's not judicial. That's the one we have a choice in. We can appropriate that by that, doing what the Word of God says, being thankful and not worried about a lot of stuff. But you know, a lot of times I don't have that peace. I'm so attuned to the things of this world sometimes. I have a hard time understanding and grasping the peace of God, because sometimes I still want to do it myself. I like what the green letter says. The green letter says, you know, you started growing in God when you end self-dependence, and your dependence starts being based on what God has said. Then you can grow. Then you can grasp these things. But a lot of times I can't, you know, because of the flesh and because of the things I've been indoctrinated with. But I notice something. When I stand fast in the Word of God and I study and I surround myself with other believers, I stay on course. In other words, what I'm saying, saints of God, not only study the Word of God, get you some good godly friends that study and know the Word of God, they can help you stay on course. So you stop talking about the side of your neck, they can tell you, man, you know, I got a friend named Brad. He'll look at me like, he'll bust out laughing. Ah, Brother Doc will just kind of look at him. He'll say, well, you know, Brother Braxton. Brother Shepherd kind of laugh. He'll give me a little rope, and then he'll come out later on. But you need that, saints of God. You know what? I could just imagine what the apostles talked about, Timothy and Paul. And so, myself, I know that I had to be surrounded by spiritual things because I have a tendency to go the other way. That's just it. And if we stand fast in what God has told us, we're going to be all right, saints. Because this place, listen, if you're measuring yourself by this world, stop doing it. Guess what? You know why? Our conversation is in heaven. See? And a lot of times, you know, we don't have peace because we go to the doctor and the doctor says, you know, you got high blood pressure, you got diabetes, and by the way, you got this, you got a thyroid, all kind of stuff. But see, our hope should be, as we set our affections on things above, we hear those things and we know that this place is not our home. Our conversation is in heaven. And we know that one day that God is going to change these vile bodies to be fashioned like His glorious body. See, now that's a truth that once it sinks in, you can say, "Our Lord." See, that's a beautiful thing to know that. Going further, it says, by whom we have access by faith into His grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Listen, when you be at work and people say they're going to pray for you, if they don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're doing you a disservice. They might be praying to Baal or any other entity, okay? Remember, that it sounds kind of cruel sometimes, but sometimes, guess what we got to do? sometimes we got to put on our big boy bloomers and big lady bloomers and strap on and gird the loins of our mind and stand fast and quit asking people crazy things that they can't do for us. Because sometimes we'll say, man, will you pray for me? I've done that. And I don't know what this guy believes in. Number one, God can't hear them. God does not hear you until you are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. But something we have access under His grace. Nobody else has that. In the Old Testament, they didn't have access. Matter of fact, they didn't want to even talk to God. In Exodus, during Moses' time, they didn't want to see God. They didn't want to hear from Him. They were fearful of God. And further down the line, the only people who could approach God was the priest in the temple. But see, we have something. Even Queen Esther, she couldn't even approach God on her own. And if she did, and when she did approach God, it was on the threat of death. But guess what? Not us. We have access to God 24/7. That's what the Bible says. Pray without ceasing. Have a mindset of prayer, because God always hears me no matter what I've done, no matter how bad and how vile I've been, or how bad my thought pattern is. God always hears me. He says yes, no, or wait. And whatever He tells you to do, it's the most perfect thing. And like I say, in the fullness of time, when God tells you something, it's the best thing. But by faith, I got to believe what God has said. I got to believe in His inner man. Regardless of what the world puts against me, I got to believe what God says. I got to believe that I'm all right. See? And I have something far better ahead of me in my life. People always talk about the good old days. Baby, the good old days are in front of every believer that's sitting here. We got some stuff coming that the world just can't comprehend and they don't want. They just don't know better. I was out evangelizing one day in front of the church, and a guy walked by me, and I was saying, have you heard? I gave him a tract. I said, you heard about Jesus? He gave me the stiff arm like he was playing football, like that. And he had this look on his face. I said, okay. All right, brother. Thank you anyway. You know, the world doesn't want Christ. They do not want Him at all. And a lot of times, people that don't know Christ, you think they're your friends. You know why they're your friends? Because you haven't pushed the gauntlet. You haven't upped the ante. You haven't told them what the Word of God says. Most people will talk to you, but when you start telling them, thus saith the Scripture, they don't want to hear you no more. They want you to shut up. And then guess what? If they could do like they did Stephen, they would do that too. Oh, by the way, they're doing that around the world right now. And I'm going to tell you something, saints of God. You think some crazy stuff that happened in this country the last few years, it can happen here too. Don't tell me what can't happen. Satan is still he's the god of this world. We got to be ready, saints of God. We got to gird the loins of our mind. We got to have the Word of God. It's not we have to get our bodies built up. We don't have to get us a gang. We don't have to protest. We don't have to do anything. But what we have to do is believe what God has said and His Word is true. Because things might change one day. Will you stand for the Word of God and the threat of your life? You know, people say, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Will you do that when there's a threat of death in front of you? See, do you know that? And that's what it's about. We have to stand in that. But we have access unto God. And you know something else about that access? Most of the times, my prayer life, man, is so jumbled up that I don't know what to pray for sometimes. But the Scripture has an answer for that. The Scripture says, when I don't pray as I ought, when I've done some dirt I shouldn't did, when I let the kids rule my mind or whatever the case might be, my health is not so good, I can go to God and He's going to fix it up. And by the time they get to the Father, everything is all right. Even if I got to leave this earth, there's profit in that. You got to know that, saints of God. We got to believe that the day that we leave here is profit for our lives. See, we say Paul's our pattern. We want Paul our pattern in certain things. But when it comes to that giant, we don't want to be our pattern. See, the suffering that he did and everything. But we have access unto God. So in the midnight, in other words, you wake up in the morning like I do sometimes, and misery and pain is standing right next to you and say, good morning. I need some help, man. And I know I can't do it. See, I need the meteor. I need Christ. I need the Spirit, and I got the crown of God, Abba Father. And that's something that we have, sons of God. Nobody else has. Nobody else has. We have direct access to a living and an all-powerful, omnipotent, omnipresent God. wow, oh wow, oh wow. Sometimes we don't really realize what we have until we open up the benefit package and look at it. I work for the city. And sometimes, even though they've taken a lot of stuff from me, I still look at my benefit plan, I say, it's worth it. I can retire any moment, but I look at my benefit, I say, okay. But we have something far better. We have this benefit that God has given us by His grace. Freely given, nothing we earn, and nothing we can keep on our own. Don't you know that? You couldn't keep yourself saved if you wanted to. But God has done. We've been justified freely, not guilty. Who? For all eternity. Thank God for Jesus Christ. And you know what? All the things that the Bible talks about as justified sons of God, this peace that we have, we can have that. That peace in Philippians 4 and 7. We can have that peace. But the only thing is, what you waiting on? See? What you waiting on? Being thankful. We have to be thankful. Sometimes we have a little bit too much and we become unthankful. Stay thankful. That's the key, is saying thankful to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for what He's wrought in us. And here goes the part we don't like. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation works with patience. Listen, there are three kinds of things in this world. We're going to suffer for the course of this world. You can't get out of this world. There's going to be death and taxes. There's going to be children driving you crazy. There's going to be health issues. You can't get away from that. You got to leave the world to get out of that. Then the second one, there's another one you have, and that's for Christ's sake. That's the one that you want, but that's the one we try to avoid most of the time. And then there's that third one. What, you know what that is too? We suffer tribulation for our own stupidity. Okay, that's the one that I have to work on. Y'all might be a lot better than me on that, but that's the one where I'm stuck at. How do you say I'm stuck on stupid and welded on dumb? I'm gonna say, here we go again, because most of the time when I'm in that arena, I know it. I know the consequences for what I'm gonna do. But see, I don't have to. But I do it anyway. But I'm getting better. I'm not as bad as I used to be. See? But I don't have to. Romans 6 and 14 tells me that sin and death has no dominion over me. I don't have to do the things that I do that are wrong. He said, but not only so, but we glory in tribulations, and knowing that the tribulation work with patience, and patience, and patient experience, and experience hope. Listen, the very things, listen, that we try to avoid that comes our way are the very things that we need to grow in our Christian faith. Some of the things that, if you think back on in your life, some of the things that have happened to you that were bad, we might say, those are the very things that you needed to make you the person you are today in Jesus Christ. But we try to avoid those things. You know, you see the weightlifter, you see the basketball players. They didn't get buff like that by not working out, by not sacrificing, because it takes some sacrifice. And we don't want the pain. But if you want to get something in life, as far as your spiritual life, there's some things you're going to have to go through. You can't avoid them. You got to go right through them. And a lot of times, too, we don't want to be torn down. If you take the alcohol or the drug addict, he wants to get his life together. Guess what? Everything's got to fall apart first. Everything has to be taken away. Then you're ready. Paul says, you know, to be crushed grapes and broken bread. Then I'm ready to be poured out as a drink offering. Sometimes I have to go through some horrible stuff, some horrible experience to get to where I'm going. But sometimes my flesh, being like I am, I don't want to go through that. I want an easier, softer way. But there is no easier, softer way for a believer. We have to glory in the tribulations and stuff. We have to go through these things. Why? Because we want to get better as sons of God. There's a price we have to pay, but sometimes we don't want to pay the price. You see, sometimes people say, I don't have no friends. Well, it's because you don't know how to be a friend. See, you want everything your way. You want everybody to listen to you. Nobody gets a word in but you. You do all the talking. Listen to me. And you wonder why nobody wants to talk to you. You expect in life to give you something that that's not supposed to give you. You expect the Christian life for you to be rich. Yeah, you're rich in His grace, the riches of His grace. But as far as the other part, that ain't happening for us today. God has not promised us to be rich, and He has not promised us to be healthy. What did Paul tell the believers in the Bible that were sick? He told them he loved Timothy, his son in the faith. What did he tell Timothy to do? He said, drank a little wine for your stomach. Somebody got to smile and I said, some off some wine. But he told him, he said, drink a little wine for your stomach. Epaphroditus, he said, this man was sick. He told him, look, what? Pray for him. And even that don't mean they're going to live. But we know Paul said to die is gain. See, we got to get that in our heads. We got to quit holding on to these things here and set our affections truly on things above. Because we have something that's waiting on us as justified sons of God. We got all eternity to be with God. But it starts here and now. And it starts as we study the Word of God. Spend some time with God. You know, in the garden of... In the beginning, Adam walked with the Lord in the garden. And what he was doing, God was having Bible study with him every day. And he was edifying him as a son of God to be like him, to think like him, to work like him, and to labor with him. But Adam chose what? He chose another way. And sometimes we do that too. God is working with us, giving us everything that we need for the battle. And what? We're going another way, saints of God. You know, stand still and know he's God. Sometimes we just have to sit still. Sometimes you have to stop, smell the rose, and sometimes everything is not just that important. Because, you know, if everything is earth-shattering to me or whatever, I don't have time to enjoy anything. Because, see, once I get to one level one day, the next day I want something better. And another, because the flesh is what? Never satisfied. The eye is never full. The ear is never full of hearing. So sometimes we just got to be satisfied. That's why in Philippians it tells us to be satisfied being want for nothing, saints of God. Be satisfied with what you have. If you know what the Bible is saying to you, that what you have in Christ Jesus, you'd be satisfied, saints of God. But guess what? We're like the people in 1 Corinthians, most of us. We want to be like the world. See, we want to be heard. We want to be seen of men. We got all the gifts that we need, but we want men. We want the applause of men. We want everybody to like us. Like in that story, Cheers, everybody to know our name. And we do that, saints of God. And what we do is we morph in different environments. We become different people. We like a chameleon in different areas of our life. But we should be the same thing everywhere. See, you know, and here's the thing. Are you that stoic believer inside your house? They say, if you want to find out what a man is of God, ask his wife. She'll tell you who that guy is. See? You know, ask his children. They'll tell you who it is. So our job is to what? Is to be the same thing everywhere in Christ Jesus. He empowers us. God is God everywhere, no matter where you go. He is God. And as justified sons of God, we have so much that we have that's been given to us. Verse 5 says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shared abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us." Listen, most of the world, to get the Holy Ghost, they tell you got to have a second helping. You got to come here, you got to join this church, you got to get baptized and all this stuff. But the Holy Ghost is given to us. The book of Ephesians tells us when you first heard the word and you believe and you trust in that, you're sealed to the day of redemption. Listen, saints of God, you cannot out-sin the grace of God. Nothing can separate you from the love that's in Christ Jesus. Nothing, not even your worst day, you're still in Christ. Listen, you are as much a son in Christ as when you got saved until the day that the Lord takes you home. Amen. That will not change. Think about how the goodness of God and what He's done for you. He's given you this Holy Spirit that will guide you into what? All truth. But you got to know what the truth is. You got to study the truth to know what the truth is. See, a lot of people have them Bibles walking around, but they're using for what you call it a briefcase or at home, they put it on the coffee table and they're not using it. Use the Word of God. Exercise your faith, saints of God. And remember too that we were talking to earlier, and sometimes we have people get to feeling bad about life and itself, myself included. But you know what? It's all right to feel like that sometimes. Because if Paul is our pattern, you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul said, "Brother, I have you not be ignorant." And Paul said that he despised even of death because of what was going on. Now, if the Apostle Paul can say that, you can say that too. But what he did, the Word of God brought him out. In chapter 2, Paul said he had victory, he had triumph in Christ sometimes, 3/4 of the time. No, always. That's the good news you need to hear, the word of God that tells me no matter what the circumstance and what I'm going through and what I'm feeling, I have a God that I can go to by studying his word of God and believing by faith that he'll take me through to the other side. And if it kills me, I'll be with him in front of him and saying, thank you, Lord. We can't lose with the stuff that God uses. We can't lose, saints of God. So why are we living these defeated lives sometimes? Why worry about what people think about us? Why worry about what people say? Why worry about this job crisis? Look, this country is going to go on with or without you. All your protests and ain't going to change a doggone thing. Let me tell you something. If God decides to change this thing, he will, because the heart of a king is in the hands of God. So if God chooses to do that, but I don't think so. See, God gives us the power to make choices today, saints of God, with our children, with our jobs, with our country, with our political affairs. And sometimes people say, well, you know, there's racism in the body of Christ. I can do that's part of the sin nature. Amen. There's some people that are racist against their own family. What are you talking about, man? You know, and so when they say sin, that's across the board. See, and some people take one pet sin, like Brother Doc said, that they're not doing, and that's the one they talk about. See, boy, boy, boy. But see, we know. Paul would have us not be ignorant, but as we study the Word of God, we know what this Christian life entails. And we're in a battle, saints of God. Not with God anymore. Mm-mm. The Bible says we wrestle not what against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, wickedness in high places. Don't you know the trick of the enemy is to keep you confused today? He wants you not to know the doctrine as a son of God. See, today Satan is not coming down. It's not the drug addict. See, it's not the war criminal. It's taking the word of God and twisting the word of God and having you believe the wrong message for the day. In other words, during the tribulation, guess what Satan will have people preaching? The 13 epistles of Paul. During the 70th, yeah, believe the gospel and be saved. That's what he's going to do. Trust in that. That's the triggerification he's using today. And he's using it on us today. He's having this in Israel's program. Because it appeals what? To the flesh. It appeals to denomination. It appeals to men that want to have power over your lives. That's what's going on. That is your biggest problem today. Don't worry about North Korea over there. Don't worry about Afghanistan. Don't worry about who's the president. Worry about one thing. How you living your Christian life? Are you studying this word of God and believing God? Because we deal what? In eternity. This place is not our home. We're just pilgrims. We're set for glory to be with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he's going to take this word. He's going to take us and all the justified sons of God and daughters of God. And he's going to change this universe upside down. And we're going to be the authority that rule. As he said, if you suffer with me, he said, you're going to what? Reign with me. God cannot lie. It is impossible for God to lie. Take that and put that in your hearts like you take it when somebody says something to hurt your feelings. Take the word of God and let it melt in your heart. Be like the prophets were that he desired the sincere milk of the word of God. Let God be your comfort zone. Let God be your soft pillow. Let the word of God admonish you and build you up as a justified sons of God. We're all at different levels on our Christian walk. If you know somebody's not there, build them up, Brother Brad. Don't tear them down. That's another thing about leave if I get from down here. A lot of time as believers in Jesus Christ, we love to tear one another up. We're the only living entity, and we are an entity, that likes to feed on itself. We feed on one another sometimes. And the Bible tells us not to be a stumbling block for another brother. And a lot of times we do that. We're not to do that, saints of God. We're supposed to help one another. That is what we're supposed to do. He said, and hope make us not ashamed because the love of God is shared abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. We don't have to be ashamed of our faith, saints of God. Don't be ashamed of what God. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. But it's the power of God to salvation. You have something that everybody needs, but it make you feel like you don't have anything. We have our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have the Holy Spirit. We have this message of grace. And let me tell you something, saints. We talk about being grace believers, mid-acts, or whatever the case might be. But because you know this message, and the more that you advance in this message, the more he's going to come at you. See, a lot of times, sometimes the reason why we don't meet Satan It's because we're going the same way down parallel lines. So we say everything is all right. He has all right because you ain't saying nothing. You're not a threat. You're not telling anybody about Christ. You're not sharing the word of God. You're not walking worthy of the Lord in all that you do and say. Everything your hand finds to do, you're doing what? To the glory of God, not to your boss. See? When you start doing that and sharing this grace message with people, you got something coming from the enemy. Just like he hated Paul, he hated Jesus, he hates you too. And a lot of the people around you, you know, don't be fooled by the smiles. My dad used to say, the first thing a snake show you is his teeth. That thing is true. Because I've been a snake once myself, so. My mama called me a weasel, Brother Shepherd. I don't know what a weasel did. And they showed a thing on TV, and it was a little rabbit, a little cute, juicy rabbit in front of him. And the weasel stood up. I told you I can't dance, don't just start laughing. And the little rabbit was standing, and the weasel started twitching for him, right? And then he edged up a little more. What do we call double clutching, right? And then the weasel was like, and the rabbit, and then he ate him. So we have to be careful. The world is like that. Say, give them something shiny and they'll buy it. Make it shiny, make it loud, make it sinful. Sin sells, saints. The more vile something is, the quicker it sells, saints of God. But as justified sons of God, we don't have to. We've been born of the Spirit. We've been justified freely by His grace. Never be lost again. We're in God's hands and nothing is separated from love that's in Christ Jesus. So think on that, saints. Amen. Amen.